Welcome to Dharma Glow. We're a community of conscious beings who are devoted to co-creating new earth. We value joy, peace, equity, and love. Our mission is to ignite the essence of our community by sharing tools for liberation and inspiration. Join us on the path to purpose, peace, and universal harmony. Time to come together to awaken our inner radiance. Let's glow, fam. Enjoy this podcast where we showcase some of the brightest minds and hearts in the creative space, in the healing space. It's all here to inspire you. And if you're inspired by what you hear today, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that'll really help spread the energy of this movement. Thank you. Enjoy the vibrations. So before we get started, I just wanted to let y'all know that we have monthly community events that bring in great artists from all over the world that are raising consciousness and spreading the vibrations of love. High vibration, cold pressed juices, and all that. On September 25th, we have the magical sounds of Free Soul and Lava. If you don't know their music, you should definitely check it out. I'll be sharing from my book, From Infinity to Infinity, and we'll have yoga, silent disco, vegan food. It's amazing. And then in October, we have Londrell. So he'll be coming through to play music off his album, Stay Free, and also share some of his poetry. So if those type of events are something you want to experience, make sure you go to dharmaglow.com and sign up for the email list. Stay tapped in. Once again, that is dharmaglow.com. Join our email list and you will get notifications when tickets go on sale and when we have other community events that you're not going to want to miss. All right, let's get into the episode. All right, what's good, fam? I'm here with my good friend, Nikki Van Houten. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so stoked to be here.
I'm stoked to have you.
Glow. Let's glow up.
Yeah. Nikki is a very vibrant being and she definitely glows everywhere she goes. Mm. We first met in San Diego, I think maybe at a mutual friend's like yoga event. I think it was Jess's like yoga event.
And yes.
Yeah, she just had sunny energy. And then I invited her to one of my events and then we danced on the beach and we just were friends ever since after that.
Yes, and I remember too, after that first event of yours, we got lunch like the next week. And I just remember we were just so raw with each other.
Yeah.
And we were so vulnerable. And I felt like from that moment, there was like a deep soul connection. And honestly, that interaction made me realize that I want more of that in my life. I want more relationships and interactions with people. You can be raw and authentic. You get to be, or that we give permission to people to remove the mask, really being that permission for people to remove the mask. And I want to acknowledge you for really being that permission, Dijon, being that permission for me that day to remove my mask and be vulnerable and cry and just go through all sorts of emotions, and it's inspired me to be that with others.
Yeah, thank you for that reflection and reminding me of that. I had almost forgotten about that experience. It was great because I was going through a really hard time at that point in my life, and you were the first like new person that I had met that I talked to about what I was going through. And yeah, I think it speaks to the level of like safety and friendliness that you naturally exude and set a good foundation for the rest of our friendship. So I'm grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never even knew that was a gift of mine until I did door-to-door sales, believe it or not. I went from like an elementary school teacher to doing door-to-door sales, selling solar panels. And the amount of people that would just open up to me and just wear their heart on their sleeves and be so vulnerable and raw at the doors, like maybe like I wouldn't even be inside their home, but like outside of their front door, they would just be crying, or like we would be dying laughing and just like feeling the spectrum of emotions. And I, through that, I really realized, wow, I have a gift. And through my, the past like year and a half, as I've been coming into the coaching space and really stepping up as a leader, supporting people with seeing that they have that gift too, that we all have that gift, and really helping people to, or guiding people to tap more into that gift of being that space hold, that space holder.
Yeah. How did you refine that process of just being that way naturally, but then studying it to be a coach?
So really what it comes down to, so I've refined it because I've really looked at it from, because I said I didn't even know it was a gift. I was just like doing me, being me at the door when I was doing sales, door-to-door sales. And then after a while, as people were observed coming to the doors with me and they were watching me and observing me in these meetings, they would say at the end, holy crap, Nikki, like that rapport building or that connection, you connecting was like next level. And I really then was aware of what I was doing. After I kept hearing that, I was like, okay, next time I'm going to actually be aware of what I'm doing. So then I can teach others, which I then did, teach others how to do this, how to tap into this gift, and then how to also integrate that into my coaching business. And really it's about listening, getting really good at listening. And a big part of listening is being present, which hasn't always been an easy thing for me. I can tend to be like scattered and all over, but really returning to the breath and slowing down and being present with that person, not listening to respond. I would catch myself listening to respond versus just listening and holding space. So really just listening, holding space, and genuinely caring about the other person. Like how I viewed it when I was going door to door, and now everyone I meet, the barista, I just did it with my server at lunch. Like knowing that everyone we meet has a story and has experiences that we've never experienced. And that's what makes people so beautiful, is this diversity of experiences and just ways of being. So really, when you meet someone, being in the seat of the observer, being in the, just being so curious, who is this human? What were they like as a child? What are their dreams? What is their vision? What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to this person? Like, how did they get to this point in their life? Just becoming very curious and genuinely caring about, and knowing that you receive in those moments. When you genuinely care and you are just listening and asking really good questions, sometimes uncomfortable questions, deep questions that aren't just surface level, that you receive a lot too in those moments.
That's so true. I feel like everyone has the capacity to be our teacher if we show up with a certain level of presence when we meet them, as opposed to just thinking about what can I get from them or whatever their particular role is. Just the ability to really see them as a human being, like you were mentioning. And since you were talking about being curious about people's stories and childhood and kind of origins, yeah, I would love to hear how you became who you are, because I see you as a very community-focused, like service-based person who's like always working to provide value in the things that you do. And I'm wondering how you got that way. Was it like your upbringing or the culture you grew up in or what?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town in Connecticut called New Fairfield, and very small town. Like my graduating class was like 200 people, but I think the town was like a couple thousand. And I went to the same elementary, middle, and high school with the same people. And so everyone knew each other. And also, there was not much diversity. There was all Caucasian. I grew up super Catholic. And since I was young, they used to call me the gypsy. Even when I was young, my my family called me a gypsy and my neighbors would call me a gypsy because, and it's funny too, because I would go door to door, which I then did later in life, but I would go to my neighbor's doors and knock on their door as a 6-year-old or 5-6-year-old and be like, what's up? Is Johnny want to play like manhunt, kickball? Like I would just go to all my neighbor's doors and get the whole neighborhood together to play games. And I would just have dinner at my neighbor's house. It's just me. They'd be like, oh, Nikki's here. Want to have dinner? Come in. And then that transition as I went into middle school and high school too, my house was always the place to be. My house, I always had parties. I always had events at my house. And I was always like the planner. I always planned all the things for all of our friends and our grade to get together. So it's always been for me, and I've always played on sports teams since I was young. Up until college, I played lacrosse, but I also played basketball, soccer, softball, cheerleading, everything you can imagine. And for me, there is so much joy in that community, in being in community and connecting with people. And I find that now even more like post-COVID, as we're still in COVID, but I'm feeling like this, everyone's just like craving community after the past almost 2 years of being in like this experience, this collective just experience. And just always when I was young, just always loving being around people and just loving just community. Yeah. And so then went to high school, and when I wanted to go to college, a lot of people in my school stayed close to home or stayed in the Northeast. And I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going far away. So I went to a bunch of schools down south, and I ended up going to Florida State University. And I didn't know anyone there. I was like, I want to start new. I want to do something so out of my comfort zone. And I just want to experience like diversity, and I just want to experience it all. And so I went to Florida State. I went for elementary education. And children, I feel like I'm a big kid. I think we're all big kids, but I have such a passion for children and just like their ways of being. I almost feel like on this path, I've been trying to go. I want to tap more into my inner child every day. It's like we get old and then we're like, oh no, I want to go backwards. Like I want to be a kid again. I went for teaching elementary education. And then after college, I moved to Thailand and I taught English there for a whole year. And it was an amazing experience. They actually put me in a fisherman's village in the south across from an island called Koh Tao. And I was like the only tall Caucasian blonde girl. Like no one spoke English. Like it was so, talk about out of my comfort zone too. Like I thought going to college, not knowing anyone, out of my comfort zone. Then this was like next level out of my comfort zone. Didn't know anyone too. And it was just a great experience, great learning and growth experience. And that's really where I started becoming spiritual and really diving more into personal development. And really starting to wake up. And I think what really accelerated that was towards the end of my trip in Thailand, I got into a motorbike accident and it was a near-death experience. And that really changed the trajectory of my life. As you can imagine, you really don't take life for granted. From that point on, I was like, I wake up every day like, life is good. Life is amazing. I'm so grateful to be alive. And just feeling this like, urgency, which like I think having a sense of urgency is a good thing because it might not get tomorrow. So really living every day to its fullest and really just going after your dreams, because a lot of times at least everyone that I've seen around me, I feel like they think that just they have all the time in the world, and we don't. And so it's like, why not go after your dreams? Why not fail? Why not get heartbroken? Why not do all the things? And that experience really changed my life. And then after that, I was like, let's just try it all. Let's do door-to-door sales. Let's start a business. Let's move to California. Let's become a nomad and live out of your suitcase. So yeah, the past 5 years since Thailand has been like just accelerated everything. And yeah, that's a little summary.
Yeah. Wow. So you just, sounds like you've always been a people person who loves connection, and you've always been into kind of exploring, and you just kept pushing the limits of like your exploration more and more until you came up against the edge, which was that near-death experience. And then you realized like how much you love life and the sense of urgency you have to realize your dreams. And I'm curious, one, what your biggest dream is now. And yeah, let's just start there. What's your biggest dream right now?
My biggest dream really is to just create impact in the world. To really, when I have a family and when I leave this world one day, to know that I made my mark. I made a difference and I created a legacy. That really is a dream of mine. And what that looks like, we're all very multidimensional. I have so many different passions and so many different avenues for accomplishing that dream. And one of the big dreams I have over the next few years, I want to create a mindfulness summer camp for children, the mindfulness summer camp for children, where we teach kids K-6 and all about mindfulness and breathwork, meditation, leadership, entrepreneurship, emotional intelligence, arts and crafts, music, teamwork, is everything that I wish I had as a kid, and everything that I've learned over the past few years to really impact the youth, which is the future. And that's one of my big dreams. And also a big dream of mine is to also create a movement of empowered men and women. Like really creating leaders. Like I believe leaders do create leaders. And recently I have felt like I've been driven by something like bigger than myself. And because my mission and vision are so strong and powerful, and I know I'm like living my life's purpose right now. And that feeling is so freeing to know, wow, I'm on the path, like I am living my life's purpose and I'm so clear about where I'm going. There's such freedom in that because everything else just falls away, just like naturally. It's no more, at this point, I don't need to really create boundaries with people. I do create boundaries, but it's more of my frequency protects me at this point. It's like my frequency protects me against anything or anyone that isn't serving my highest and my vision and my mission and ultimately the collective.
That's awesome. So what do you do on a day-to-day basis to keep your frequency where it's at?
Yeah, morning routine. So having a morning sacred ritual of, you know, waking up, grabbing a glass of water, I'll put lemon in it with salt, Himalayan salts, and then I will rub peppermint essential oil in my hands, take a big whiff. It's nice right in the morning, wakes you up. And then I'll do a meditation. And recently, like the past two, three months, I've been just doing silent. Before, I always had to listen to music or like binaural beats or something. And recently I've been doing silent meditation. And right now I do about 30 minutes a day, sometimes more. But I would say the average is 30 minutes. And then after that, I'll journal. So I'll write 10 things I'm grateful for, or people I'm grateful for. And then I'll write affirmations, 10 affirmations. And then I'll write three like big goals for the day. So three things I would like to accomplish for the day. And then after that, I'll dance. So I'll just move my body and just like ecstatic dancing, just getting it all out, being loosey-goosey. And then I will start my day. Sometimes I'll read too. I try to read like 10 to 20 pages a day. So I'll read. And then throughout the day, I like to get some sunshine. So I'll go on walks or I'll run, or I've been slacking on the gym. It's pretty hard to be in a gym routine when you're a nomad. I'm like fully nomad for the past 5 months. If I'm going to work out, I'm going to do like maybe yoga or go on a run or something, or a hike. And then towards the end of the day, like towards nighttime, I'll maybe do another meditation or read. And also eating, like food. Food is so key for keeping your vibration and frequency high. Like I was just on a family vacation in the Jersey Shore and I was eating like shit. I was eating fried food, like just, I was not, yeah, I wasn't eating good at all. And you feel the heaviness from that food, the food. So I think food is a big part, like eating greens and nutritious food. And also just surrounding yourself with good people, surrounding yourself with people that lift you up and empower you and see your gifts and accept you and love you. And just reminding myself, I have an app actually on my phone called I Am. It's a really great app and it sends me affirmations like every hour and I'll just get a notification. It doesn't like ding me so I don't get too distracted, but I'll just see that on my phone and it's a nice reminder.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like you have a great flow going and a great system set up to keep you in alignment to a certain degree. And I think once we have the inertia, it becomes much easier. But I'm wondering, before you had developed such a powerful ritual for your day, were there things you struggle with, or what was one of your major hurdles in coming into the type of alignment that you're in now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And over the past year, I've been meditating every morning. Before, I was inconsistent. And I think that when you are, you really don't see the benefits and effects of a certain behavior or something until you do it for a certain amount of time. So it's like I was being inconsistent with all these things, like eating healthy and working out and journaling and meditating and doing breath work. Oh, yeah, I do breath work, Wim Hof app. And I was very inconsistent with it. So I was like, oh, this isn't working. Like I didn't see the benefits of it until I was actually like, okay, I'm actually going to commit to doing this every day for 21 days or 30 days. And when I first did that with meditation, I saw amazing benefits. I saw magical results. And then when you go back to being inconsistent, it's almost like after you taste chocolate, it's like, how do you go back to the other flavor? Like after you taste all the flavors, amazing flavors, how do you go back to just vanilla? That's my mindset. But it's like, after you feel so good, like with meditating, I just feel so good throughout the day. And I'm able to be more responsive versus reactive. When you don't do it, you can see that. You can feel it. You see the difference. And that has been a huge obstacle for me, has been being more reactive than responsive. Like really allowing my emotions to take over me and reacting, like yelling or saying something mean or crying or running away, just like living in this reactive response mode.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I've been meditating daily for about 3 years now and doing breath work for every day for about a year now. And it is night and day, like the level of clarity or centeredness that I have and just the tools that I have to recenter myself when I start like getting off the rails. And I wouldn't say that my less mature ways of interacting with the world completely go away because they still show up. But I think I have more awareness, like I can see them. I can be like, okay, you're doing this thing now. Or even if I'm having an interaction with someone and I'm feeling myself wanting to make them wrong because we're having a disagreement, as opposed to just seeing it from a higher perspective, I can feel the discomfort in my body and I can say, hey, I'm actually not in a place to talk about this or try to figure it out. Like I need to go like meditate and recenter myself.
Yes.
It saves a lot of conflict because you can just not make it one person's fault and just acknowledge that the energy is off and you step away and try to return to it when you can have a constructive conversation. That's a win-win.
Yes. Yes. And really the shifting becomes easier. The shifting from one emotion to another and choosing a higher vibration and really being in the seat of the observer. Meditation and just becoming more aware has allowed me to be more of be in the seat of the observer. So when something is happening, instead of me reacting, I'm able to take a step back and have an inner dialogue that's actually really good. I'm asking myself when something happens, maybe a friend or someone says something mean to me, I take it personally. In the past, I would have been like, fuck you. And I would have walked away. But now I have an inner dialogue first. And I ask myself, what am I making this mean? What am I making this mean about myself? I think we take things, at least me personally, taking things personally. We take things so personally. It's not about you. It's not about you. And just really asking ourselves, what are we making this mean? This whatever is happening. And is this truth? Is this belief? Or is this what we're making it mean? Is this 100% accurate and true? And like 99% of the time, it's not.
Right.
The word lies in belief. The word lies in belief. So really when these limiting, disempowering beliefs come up and these meanings and stories come up, actually confronting them and being like, no, like this is what I choose to believe. And like creating empowering, infinite, limitless beliefs that serve us.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. And did you cultivate that mindset based on the things you've been learning over the past few months? Because I know you've been doing a lot of deep inner work and going to seminars and stuff like that.
Yeah, so honestly, COVID has been for me a blessing in disguise, because the start of COVID, I really took an audit of, at the time I was still in the solar industry, and I was like, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? Is this my purpose? And I got clear on what I'm here to do and what my soul assignment is. And then I started on the certification train. So I started learning all about Joe Dispenza, Alan Watts, Brené Brown. And then I did a subconscious mind coaching training with heart-led leaders and just diving deep into subconscious mind work and NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And whoa, like that changed my life. That changed my life. And so I use that on me every day, and I use that with my clients. And obviously if other people in my life come to me and they are asking for support, then I'll support them as well with these tools. The subconscious mind, it runs 90 to 95% of our life, of our day to day. And it's formed from age 0 to age 8. So we're pretty much like running on a program and an autopilot. So it's like, how do we take control of that? How do we rewrite the program? How do we rewrite the program and actually be in control or be conscious and awake? And so that really had an impact. And then the past 6 months, I've been a part of a leadership training called Ascension Leadership Academy. And that has taught me a lot about leadership, conscious leadership, and a lot about emotional intelligence. And those two, I'm now learning and seeing that emotional intelligence and emotional mastery is conscious leadership. Like being a leader is being emotionally intelligent. It's not about IQ, like how smart and intelligent you are, what school, what college you went to, your degrees. Like, your emotional intelligence is so important. Like it's so important, because it's really how you interact and talk and flow and move with yourself and the world and with others. And that is what I know will create heaven on earth. And that's what also is a part of my mission, is really creating heaven on earth. Like, we have nowhere to get to. This is heaven. So those resources have greatly impacted me. Ascension Leadership Academy and Heart-Led Leaders, and also working with Ashley Han. Her and I, we partnered up as business partners a year and a half ago, and we've been creating a global movement, empowering women to be on fire in every area of their life. So it's called Female Fire, and in business and also in every aspect of their life. And so that also has given me the opportunity. Ashley saw me, she met me, and she saw the gifts in me. This was a year and a half ago when I hadn't even started my journey in being a leader in the coaching realm and really serving and using my gifts. And she saw me. She was like, I see you. I believe in you. And you're doing this. We're doing this together. And I'm so grateful for her because she has pushed me. She has trusted me. She has invested into me. And now I'm a co-coach with her. So she has trusted me now with all of her clients and our clients. And it's been so fulfilling. It's been so fulfilling and amazing.
Well, that's great. Good for you on that expansion and growth cycle to now step into really refining your gifts to be able to serve in a way that feels fulfilling and makes you feel like you're living your purpose.
Yeah, it feels really good, Dijon.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
I've never felt this way.
Yeah, I've watched your, I don't remember when we had that lunch after that thing was. I feel like it was about 2 years ago or so. And you really have done a tremendous amount of work to level up. So it's inspiring to see. And yeah, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. And when you taste a good recipe or like you watch a really good movie, the first thing you want to do is you want to share it. So that's where I'm at right now. It's like, I feel so good. I actually stopped drinking like over the past few months and because I feel so good and I'm like, I don't want anything to ruin this. Right. And I want to share it. I want to share everything I've learned and I want to share this feeling and this love and this joy and also guide people and help people to also understand that life isn't all about daisies and roses and all the good feelings, but the capacity for allowing yourself to go into the deepest, darkest caves and into the deepest, darkest places is in your capacity for to feel those emotions is a reflection of your capacity to feel the amazing, high vibrational, magical feelings. So really holding space for people in that journey.
Yeah, if you want to reach the heavens, you got to be deeply rooted in the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I feel like that was a really good experience of your vibration and your journey and your offering. So if people are feeling resonant with what you shared or curious, how can they connect with you? How do you work with people?
Yeah, you can check out my Instagram on @ITS Nikki, NIKI, and then VAN. It's Nikki Van. And feel free to shoot me a DM. My partner Theo and I, we do a mastermind called Quantum Expression Mastermind. This is a group coaching program. I do one-on-one coaching. And then I also do group coaching with Ashley Han with the Female on Fire Collective Inner Circle and Business Mastermind. I am so grateful, Dijon, for being on this podcast and just really sharing my voice and my truth and my message and for co-creating. Thank you for seeing me and thank you for really having me also step up as a leader. And I wanted to acknowledge you too for the leader that you are and what a bright light you are in this world. And I just can't wait to co-create and collaborate more in this lifetime.
Thank you so much for that reflection. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure that there's lots of things that we're going to have fun co-creating. So
yes.
Thanks so
Let's
much.
Go. Let's yeah. go.
Thanks so much for coming on and sharing the wisdom and being vulnerable and sharing your story. You just dropped a lot of ways for people to connect with you. So hopefully someone can get some support that needs it.
Woo. Love you. Love you, Dijon. Love you, people out there. Have a great day.
Peace.
Yay.
All right, fam. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Dharma Glow. We're here to inspire you and to elevate your consciousness so that you can live a life that leaves a legacy of love. If you enjoyed what you heard here today, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, sign up for the email list at dharmaglow.com, and stay connected. Spread the word, because what we're doing here is essential to the formation of New Earth. As long as we stay connected, we can't lose. Much love. This is Dijon. I'm out.